step back in time to the 1960s. World War II is over. France and Britain need extra manpower to fuel their fast-growing economies. They got it from former colonies that had just achieved independence. The influx fundamentally transformed both cities and their music. It's the theme of the Immigration Museum exhibit that examines three decades of post-war migration to Paris and London, the capitals of what had been the world's biggest colonial empires. Rhythm and blues, reggae, rye, and rock and roll. Europe and other Western regions got world music long before the term was invented. But getting there wasn't easy.
At the very beginning, the music and the migrants in Paris were quite left out in a way. Music existed already in cafes, in venues, but it was not mainstream at all.
Stéphane Malfette is curator for the Paris exhibit. What was happening in music mirrored the realities facing migrant workers here.
The migrants lived in special area, what we called foyer. There were a lot of strikes during the 70s in foyer de travailleurs. They were working in factory during the day, sharing the life of everybody working in the factory. But at the end of the day, they had vanished in their foyer.
Things changed in the 1970s.
During the 70s, the music became a very strong protest in the public space as an instrument of revolt and protest.
Across the channel, migrants in London also faced racism, but Martin Evans, colonial history specialist and another exhibit curator, said they were introducing the city to ska and reggae from Jamaica, music from East Africa, and calypso from Trinidad and Tobago.
We've seen the exhibition with things like the Notting Hill Carnival, which begins in the late 1950s as a response to racist attacks in Notting Hill in 1958, and what that carnival does is it brings with it music, calypso from Trinidad, and the reggae and sound system cultures above all from the mid-1970s, which become anchored into a London landscape. They could become profoundly London.
The music also profoundly affected iconic British groups like the Beatles.
In the Beatles, one of their most famous songs is on the White Album, Obla Dee Obla Da. The title of that song comes from a conversation that Paul McCartney had with Jimmy Scott, who's of Nigerian origin, and Obla Dee Obla Da means in Yorubian, so it goes.
The parents of British musician and filmmaker Don Letts immigrated to Britain from Jamaica as part of the so-called Windrush generation. He says they wanted to integrate by denying their roots. It didn't work.
Ironically, at a grassroots level, it was their culture, particularly their music, that would capture the imagination of the white working class kids. And it was our culture that would actually help us to integrate with society.
Lett says the cultural exchange went both ways.
I was inspired by a lot of the things that I grew up with. I grew up digging the Stones, the Beatles, Bowie, Roxy music, and all the rest of it.
Meanwhile, Paris by the 1980s had become a hub for African music. Singers like Papa Wemba, Khaled, Youssou N'Dour, and Salif Keita. Music producer Martin Messonnier was among their earliest fans and producer for some of the biggest artists.
Out of pleasure, I was discovering all these new musics, and I thought it was a gold mine because it was fascinating. It was all these incredible bands.
The musical fusion has left a powerful imprint on today's artists, and it has changed not only how we think about music, but about each other. Lisa Bryant, DW, Paris.